Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Marketplace Movement. Thank you so much for your time and coming to dig into the Word of the Lord with us, for really trusting us with a moment out of your day when I recognize that there is so much going on and so many other things that many of you can be doing. I want to dig into the Word of God. And we have been talking about patterns, the power of patterns, as we continue to rediscover the family. So what I want to do is I'm going to pray. Go ahead, get your Bibles, your notebooks out, share this video, get in those comments, talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to make sure that all of us are together synergistically, really in the Word. All right. So what you will notice is, you know, that we are trying to collect everyone into one place. We're talking about what that's going to look like. Those changes will be going into place in July. Give us just a little bit of time, because we want to make sure that when you come into our virtual experience, that you are doing so in a way that allows you to be kind of arm in arm virtually, if you will, with your brother and your sister. And so give us just a minute as we continue to utilize these technological tools and these technological advantages to our advantage in advancing the Word of the Lord. Let's pray and let's jump in. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I honor you. God, I'm grateful for your Word. I'm grateful for your truth. You said in John 17:17 that we are to sanctify them with the truth, and that your Word is truth. Thank you for your Word. Tonight, help us to receive the Word and plant it, which is able to save our soul. And then give us, God, the absolute strength and determination to walk that Word out. In Jesus' name and for your glory, amen and amen. All right. If you will, just give me some time here. I won't be before you long. I try to be very understanding of your virtual time. Some of you are holding cell phones. Some of you are on your break. Some of you will come back and listen to this on the replay. I would, however, encourage you to come to the cathedral when you are able to get our in-person experience as well on Wednesday. The Bible says in Colossians, chapter 1, verse 21. So Colossians 1:21. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body. How? Through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. He says, listen, I need you to continue in this. If you want to be holy, blameless, beyond reproach, verse 22, we have to continue in the faith that has been firmly established. We have to continue in the patterns that have been passed down. And so today, as a subheading to our work in patterns, and many of you are beginning to discover patterns in your own life, patterns, because every pattern is going to produce something. Every pattern is going to produce a product, if you will, and the product is contingent upon the pattern. If you're not seeing manifestation in your life, check your patterns. Check. And I used another term a few months ago, your grooming, right? I need you to write this down. To continue in the faith, we must be intentional and not haphazard. To continue in the faith, we must be intentional. You have to move with intention. And that's what I want to talk about in this pattern conversation. Moving with intention. I said something Sunday, and if you didn't hear Sunday, please go back and listen to that. And I'll say it again. Godly intention disrupts passive pattern transfer. Somebody write that in the notes, please, in the comments. Godly intentions disrupt passive pattern transfer. Third time, godly intention. When I'm intentional about the things of God, that will disrupt passive pattern transfer, because patterns are transferred by proximity, even subconsciously, which means if you are around something with an egregious pattern, you will pick up the pattern if you are not intentional about your godly patterns to disrupt that. So godly intention, last time, disrupts passive pattern transfer. We are what we eat. And I'll give it to you another way. You are who you are around. And you have to make sure that if you are going to really produce in a godly way, you have to make sure that you have godly intention. You got to move with intention. Many, listen to this, many of our spiritual actions are actually reactions to crisis and not disciplines developed through consistent practice. I'll do it again. Many of our spiritual actions are actually reactions to crisis and not disciplines developed through consistent practice. So for instance, let me dig into this a little bit. Sometimes we are praying not because we're disciplined in prayer, but we're praying as a reaction to a crisis. Sometimes we go to our word not because we are disciplined students or disciples, but because we are looking for an answer in crisis or looking for a rebuttal in a debate. So many of our spiritual actions are not actually disciplines. They're simply reactions to crisis. You can't call that a spiritual discipline. You have to call that what it is. Oftentimes it's desperation. Lord have mercy. So many of our spiritual actions are actually reactions to crisis. And when you are reacting, you're not operating out of muscle memory. Reactions oftentimes are haphazard. They're not intentional. They're triggered. And I need us as the people of God to move with intention. So when something comes up in the earth, we should not be simply moving out of crisis reaction. We should be moving disciplined as the people of God. So many of our spiritual actions are actually reactions to crisis, not disciplines developed. Do it again. Disciplines developed. Lord have mercy. Third time. Disciplines developed through consistent practice. See, write this down, please. Spiritual discipline rests in the domain of the mature. Spiritual discipline rests in the domain of the mature. So if you want to be spiritually disciplined, you have to also want to be mature. You cannot be immature and spiritually disciplined. Spiritual disciplines rest in the domain or in the dominion or under the care of the mature. Let me read a familiar passage in Hebrews chapter 5. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read two verses, and then we're going to go back and we're going to just slowly and methodically work through these two verses. Now, if this is far as I get, amen. But I need to read these two verses. Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 13. For everyone, let's go back. Let me give you a little context. We have the writer of Hebrews here, debated subject among theologians. We have the writer of Hebrews here, I believe to be Paul. And he's actually in the middle of a teaching on Melchizedek. And he says in verse 11, actually, concerning him or Melchizedek, we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you've become, so there's been a degradation here, dull of hearing. He doesn't say you've always been dull of hearing, but you became, which means, listen, it is possible to become immature. It's possible to slide out of maturity. Lord have mercy. You became dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you. You have need again. You've been here already and something happened. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to, you didn't always need this. You've come to need milk and not solid food. There's a problem here with this group here because they degraded, they slid. But then he tells us about contextually here, verse 13. Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, watch this, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, what did I say when I started? Spiritual discipline rests in the domain of the mature. Verse 14, solid food is for the mature. How do they get mature? Because of practice, they have their senses trained to discern good and evil. This group slid into immaturity. They didn't take the proper road, because the proper road, listen, the proper road is you start on milk and you graduate to solid food. Contextually, we're not told here that the people who are drinking milk or on milk are in sin. That's not what that scripture is saying at all. It says that you're an infant. The people who are partaking only of milk are infants. It doesn't say they're sinners, but they're infants. And we'll deal with what partaking only of milk causes here in just a second. But I need you guys to understand they became dull and they had need for someone to teach them again, and they have come to need milk and not solid food. I am convinced that there are many people who come to the very place in God where true development, true revelation, true transformation, true regeneration lies. And you come right up to that point and we become unwilling to take the step necessary to operate in the new creation. And then we degrade to the comfortable and we pick up a bottle when food is on the other side of that line. That solid food is right on over there. And we should be there. We should be there based upon who we've been around. We should be there based upon what we tell people we have. You know, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, what are you consuming? But we understand something here. Lord have mercy. It says, everyone who partakes only of milk is not, watch this, let's break this down. They are not accustomed. Let me go back to my point. Spiritual discipline rests in the domain of the mature. And so if you want to move with intention, you need to check your diet. Because many of us, we can't move with intentionality because the pattern of our diet is immature. We have an immature set of patterns. And what does it say about the immature or those who are on milk? They're not accustomed. They're not accustomed. Write that word accustomed down. That means they lack practical experience or training. They lack practical experience or training. Listen to me. It is not enough to go to a church where you see demonstration, but you're never taught to demonstrate. One more time. It is not enough to go to a church where you see demonstration, but you are never taught to demonstrate. Third time. It's not enough to go to a church, and I'm not trying to bash anybody, but please understand that word accustomed means that you lack the practical experience, practical, hands-on. At some place, at some point, there should be practical, hands-on experience and training in the things of God, not just for the ordained, not just for those who are on leadership teams. But the Bible says in Mark 16, 16, these signs shall follow them that, but let me read it. I want to make sure that we understand what the text says before y'all think I go to making stuff up. Mark 16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. This is verse 16. But he who has disbelieved, that's a refusal of belief, shall be condemned. These signs, verse 17, will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And the prerequisite for that level of supernatural acumen was belief, not ordination. Believe, not even leadership. Just believe. But in order for us to walk in that pattern, those patterns that we see exemplified in the scripture, we have to say, are we accustomed to it? Are we in an environment? Am I surrounded by patterns which are showing me practical experience and training? You have to be accustomed to, watch this, the logos, which means, listen. The supernatural is not birthed in praise breaks. The supernatural, glory to the Lamb, is not birthed in the whooping close of a sermon. No. The supernatural is not birthed even in our praise and worship singing. No. The supernatural has to be based on a foundation of the word. That's Jesus. Y'all hear me? But the immature are not accustomed to the word. So watch this. One of the marks of immaturity is wordlessness. Another mark of immaturity is when you don't want to hear the word. You would prefer 2 hours of singing and 5 minutes of word. Lord have mercy. Another mark of immaturity is the desire for entertainment and not efficacious pedagogy. You at some point have to say, is what I'm being taught effective in my day-to-day living? But watch this. If you're only partaking of milk, you are not accustomed to the word of righteousness. And then it goes further. Listen, if you're not accustomed to the word of righteousness, the Bible says in verse 13, you're an infant. Everyone who lacks practical experience and training in the logos is an infant. That's right there in verse 13. Everyone who lacks practical, I'm not talking about you got to go to seminary. I'm not talking about you got to have particular degrees, and I'm not against any of that. I'm not against it. Those who know me know that I'm all about going and getting trained and developed. But I also believe, watch this, that if you feel like you have to go to seminary in order to learn the Bible, that is an indictment on the weak theology and training of our churches, because no believer should have to leave their local assembly to learn the scripture. Lord have mercy. No believer should be required to leave their local, I know I'm getting in trouble, their local assembly in order to learn the scriptures. Depth should not be in the domain of academia. They should not be the sole purveyor of depth. I understand if they are the gatekeeper of academic credential, but academia must never be the sole gatekeeper of scriptural depth. Lord have mercy. The Bible says in verse 13, you are not accustomed to the logos. And if you're not accustomed, if you lack the practical experience and training in the word, you're an infant. Now, here's where things get a little bit more sticky. Infant. As you look at this text, one of the issues here is right here in this word, infant. One who is still nursing. Watch it. One who is still nursing. And one definition said, and therefore cannot speak. Because watch this, if you're still nursing, that speaks to your age. Glory to God. I think all of us would probably be very, very confused if you had a 25-year-old individual still nursing, ability to hold full sentences and communicate freely, but still nursing. And so the inference here is that infants not only are still nursing, but they cannot speak. Now watch this, because there's something here for our learning and for our instruction, and there is an indictment for us as leaders in the church. Solid food, and it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk. So if I'm only partaking of milk, I'm not accustomed. I lack the training in the logos. Therefore, I'm an infant. If I lack the training in the word, if I lack the practical experience and training in the word, the scripture calls me an infant, which means I'm still nursing and not able to speak. Lord have mercy. Somebody track with me today. If I lack the practical experience and training in the word, I'm an infant, which means I am still nursing and I lack the ability to speak. One of the issues that we are having right now, and one of the reasons why it seems as if the standards of the church are lowered, it seems as if the power of the church is diminished, it seems as if the trajectory of many in the church is the broad instead of the narrow, it is based upon the fact that we are allowing infants to have microphones. Glory to God. And then we wonder why the pew is in bad shape. Well, the Bible says an infant is one who is not accustomed. They lack the practical experience and training in the word. And when we are promoting infants, when we are releasing infants, when we are ordaining infants, when we are deploying infants, when we are giving the infant the microphone, putting them on the platform, then what is happening is we are putting someone up that lacks the practical experience and training in the logos. Again, I'm not talking about degrees here. I'm talking about someone who has a vetted, glory, who has a vetted maturity in the word, that when the supernatural happens, they're not surprised, that when questions arise, that they understand how to bring people to the word, that the word is the lamp unto their feet and the light unto their path, that their way is being kept by the word, that they have received the word implanted. It is saving and able to save their soul. In other words, they've been walking in the word before they start using the word to tell someone else how to walk. We have given the infants the microphone and we wonder why the pews are in bad shape. Let me say it really simply. Infants should be nursing, not speaking. Infants should be nursing, not speaking. If you have infants around you, listen, understand, wean them. Wean them. Don't ordain them. Hey, God. Wean them. They're not ready to be deployed. They're not ready to be licensed. They're not ready for any of that. Wean the infants. I need to speak to them. This is our pattern. Because we keep promoting the infants, we now have a pattern of immaturity in the church. We are clapback happy. We are petty. Come on now. We don't go to the word first. We go to social media first. Lord, glory, glory, glory. We want to deploy the methods, the modes, the means of the world. Why? Because when we are only drinking milk, we lack the practical glory, experience, and training in the logos. And therefore, we should not be speaking. Infants are not ready. Infants are not ready. And the infant does not get to tell you when they're mature. The infant doesn't, they have to show maturity through their actions. Infants are not ready. We've done people a disservice in promoting infants. And why do we promote infants? We promote infants because they're popular. We promote infants because they draw crowds. We promote infants because they have the ability to raise money. But infants are not accustomed to the word. Infancy. being an infant, or a lack of maturity is not sin in this context, but it does limit what one can receive from the Lord. I said it's not sin in this context, but it does limit, listen, what one can receive from the Lord. That can't be true. All right, go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. Watch what Paul says to the church at Corinth. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. He says, listen, I can't speak to you like you're mature because you're not. I have to speak to you like you're infants. Let's keep going. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. He understood they couldn't handle the solid food. So he understood that they had yet to be weaned. So he gave them milk. They weren't accustomed. He treated them as if they weren't accustomed to the Logos. They lacked the practical experience and training in the Logos. So he was still breastfeeding them. I gave them milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Look at what he says. Indeed, even now, you are not yet able. Now, how does Paul determine that they lack the readiness? He said, for you're still fleshly. He says, I can't give you solid food. You may be asking for it, but I can't give it to you based upon how I see you behaving. You may say you want it, but your behavior says you can't take it. He said, you're still fleshly. Well, what did he mean by that? For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? He says there's jealousy and strife. And the presence of jealousy and strife told Paul they were immature. So he said, because you're jealous and because there's still dissension, I gotta keep giving you milk no matter what you're asking me for, because you're not prepared. You're not prepared. You're not prepared. You're not prepared. And I see you're not prepared based upon the jealousy. See, we're promoting and we're deploying and we're elevating and we're consecrating and we're ordaining and we're licensing and we are affirming folks who are still babies. They're infants. Their patterns are dangerous if followed. But then we put them on a platform and tell the world by what we call them that they should be pattern bearers. Lord have mercy. This is such an issue in the proliferation of titles without context, the proliferation of titles without training, the proliferation of titles with no historical tie to the brevity of the title that many covet so much. So now we have babies with mitres. You got babies with cassocks. You got babies with collars. You got babies starting churches. You got babies as business owners. And then we wonder why the patterns, we wonder why the tantrums, because babies throw tantrums. He says here, you need to be on milk. You need to be weaned. Please understand. He said, I got to speak to you like an infant. For when one, look at verse 4, says I'm of Paul and another I'm of Apollos, are you not mere men? They're sitting up there claiming sets. You know, I'm Paul's disciple. I'm Apollo's disciple. Or, like we do now, I'm Church of God in Christ. I'm Baptist. I'm Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. Come on. Are you not mere men? As we poke our chest out to claim a particular group as opposed to one body, many members? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, God was causing the growth. We do it now. I go to so-and-so's church. My pastor better than your pastor. My choir better than your choir. My praise team better than your praise team. We're literally passing around shouting videos and not word. There was a time. I don't know if any of you remember the, you know, network marketing crazes like, you know, Amway and all of those things that were at the height. But I remember I would get invited to a, you know, Amway meeting, somebody who wanted me to be a part of it. And every time there was some consistency there, that, you know, listen to these tapes. I've been listening to these tapes. And in those tapes, it was, you know, a bunch of, you know, self-help, and you can do it, and you're great, and mind over matter, and all of that type of stuff. But those groups had picked up something that had been in the church for a long time. Because I remember early on, you know, when folks would listen to Hagin and, you know, Copeland and Fred Price and all that ilk of guys, and many of the people who just opened the word and taught that, and Catherine Kuhlman, and even when you go back beyond those particular individuals, when you look at people of that ilk, and they would have tapes and they would listen to them over and over, and they'd pass tapes on, and, you know, you need to listen to this and you need to listen to that, because they were getting them accustomed to the word. And the interesting thing about many of those tapes is there was no worship on them. You just put the tape in and the sermon would start. And there was none of that. Even when my grandmother, I remember my grandmother listening to Fred Price. And I knew it was Fred Price, you know, because you'd hear the song Evidence and you know, like, all right, Fred Price is on. And I remember as a little boy being just amazed because he just talked. He had command. But there was no praise team in those videos. We never heard the choir sing. There was not one time I can remember hearing the organ praise break. I remember the broadcast would start and be in the sermon, and most of the time he'd say, we're out of time, but I'm not out of message. As you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And he'd go off and you'd hear evidence and you knew it was time for it to go off. There was a love of the word. And so he was teaching them deeper and deeper things, and the congregation was growing more and more mature. And so when it was time for them to do more, there was no issue. There was no drama. And I'm sure, like every church, they went through things. Please understand that. But Paul is saying to them, like, your behavior tells me you're not ready, so I can't give it to you. You're not accustomed to the Logos. You're an infant. And look at what he says as he goes on. Go back to Hebrews 5. Oh, man. We've lost that. I want y'all to hear me say, we've lost that. Many of us would not tune into, especially even now, you know, as times in 2020, you know, pushed churches into virtual experiences, many of us wouldn't have tuned in. Like, I need my worship. No, we need to be accustomed to the word. And there's nothing wrong with praise and worship. There's nothing wrong with singing. Lord knows, I'm not saying that. But the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The word is how a young man will keep his way pure. The word is what we receive implanted, which is able to save our soul. And even in the book of Nehemiah, when the prophet spoke from morning and evening the word, when the singing came, the singers were the commentary to the word. They actually came after the message. Look at what he says. Go back to Hebrews 5. I'm going to quit, I promise. Solid food is for the mature. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, there's the pattern, have their senses trained, new pattern, to discern good and evil. Solid food is for the mature, those who have become advanced due to instruction. How do I get there? Practice, systematic training, repetition. You have, watch this, your senses or your perceptions, the way in which you see things, trained, shaped, conditioned, disciplined. To get mature, I need systematic training through repetition to shift the way I see the world in a more disciplined spiritual way. Maturity is when I'm advanced due to instruction. Due to instruction. Now, I need us to understand we've lost that. We need to get that back. We need to get that back. To get mature, we need mature patterns. Spiritual maturity is produced by spiritually mature patterns. Let me say this. I've said this before. You should have it in your notes already. Godly patterns must be taught. Godly patterns must be received. Godly patterns must be passed on. I just need to leave us with that. Because we have people who are not accustomed to the word, who are acting as representatives of the word that they have no practical experience in. See, okay, listen. Experience in preaching is not experience in the word. Experience in the word here is experience in how to walk in the word. It is possible to have the communicator's acumen and not even be saved. So just because one can make a crowd go wild, that does not mean that they have experience in the word. Experience in the word, as we saw in Paul, he determined their infancy, not based upon their scriptural quotation, but based upon the fruit of their lives. He said they have strife and jealousy. It was the presence of strife and jealousy that led Paul to call them infants. So you can have someone who can quote scriptures like crazy. I need us to understand your hoop, your quotations, your preaching, your life is what matters. Your life is what matters. One more time. Just so that we are clear, spiritual maturity is produced by spiritually mature patterns. Those have to be taught, received, and passed on. I'll end there. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.